The first item on today's agenda is an essay submitted to the station by Michael Caron, a listener here in the Belfast area. The essay is called Doing COVID Time, Testing in the Prisons. Michael is a retired prison guard and prison educator, so his opinion on this topic might be considered expert.
The first time I set foot in a prison back in the 1980s was to teach at the U.S. Disciplinary Barracks at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, in the old Kansas State Penitentiary. That was back in the days when truly poor inmates could still receive federal Pell Grants for tuition. That all ended when a public outcry arose that bad guys were getting a free education while good folks went into debt, putting their kids through college. Most politicians ran for cover back then. They passed new laws to prove they were tougher on crime than their challenger in the next election. Prison populations exploded despite low crime rates. It didn't matter a smidgen that all the evidence showed that education was a wise and cost-effective investment in reducing recidivism. Now, in the middle of this pandemic, people would scream even louder if prisons were given any priority in the long lines waiting to be tested. Unfair! Test me so I can get back to work and feed my family. Prisoners get fed anyway. Let them wait in the back of the line. Why should you or anyone give a damn about prisons now? Most of us do care that nursing homes are exploding with COVID-19. The recent discovery that 55 residents and staff at a nursing home in Augusta tested positive got our attention, at least for a minute. What did not make headlines was that about half had no symptoms. They were not sick, just contagious. They were Typhoid Marys walking around shedding virus with no clue they were unwitting accomplices to this killer. Those facilities played a major part in spreading the pandemic. Family visitors and staff returned home, many asymptomatic. They shopped, frequented barbershops, went to movies, and spread the virus far and wide before they got sick, if they ever did. That's a reality those who call stay-at-home policies prison can't or won't grasp. Prisons and jails have so many more staff than nursing homes do. The last time I checked, there were about 1,719 state prisons, the majority far from big cities. Surprising to many of you, there are even more lockups holding juveniles, smaller facilities, but more numerous. There are over 100 federal prisons, many in rural areas. Most of the 250 private prisons and jails were also built in isolated places with depressed regional economies. That's where the money-making is. Folks were willing to drive long distances for any job. There are also 80 special Indian Country tribal jails, a whole different beast with conditions often compared to third world countries. Even more than nursing homes, all those thousands of prisons are regional distribution centers for COVID-19. Nursing home staff do not routinely line the residents up and pat them down with the same pair of gloves every time they move from place to place. As a prison guard, I did that hundreds of times a day. Imagine how long it would take to have everyone stay 6 feet apart waiting as you change gloves for each pat-down. That will not happen. There aren't enough gloves in China. Instead, in many prisons, lunch will be delivered to the cell in a bag by an inmate trustee. No security or infection issues in that scenario. A nurse, hopefully wearing one of those protective face shields, will hand pills through the bars. Some inmates are just as fed up as the most outraged protesters circling the Capitol these days. Those angry inmates don't carry AR-15s, but nobody can take their feces away. Ammo is no problem. The public has no idea how common diseases like hepatitis, kidney disease, HIV, and COPD are in prisons. Smoking meth, shooting heroin, and sharing needles all have major, expensive health consequences. The Supreme Court ruled long ago that inmates are the property of whoever puts them in prison. You and I foot the bill. But there is a loophole. If there's no proof, there's no legal obligation to treat them. The prison industrial complex avoids testing like the plague. Not testing keeps the prison system and states from going bankrupt, treating a massive flood of those diseases and many others. In this time of COVID-19, one consequence is a strong likelihood that any jail time will become a death sentence for inmates who have those underlying conditions. At least some prisons are waiving the fee, usually $2. Most charge inmates just to go to sick call. That can be a day's wages for those lucky enough to have an inmate worker job. More often, their struggling families, if they have one, must put money on their books. The books are what inmate fund accounts are called. Often grandma, who is raising the kids while parents are locked up, sends money so they can go to sick call. Their struggling families even pay for the new video screen-only visitation systems and highly secure email services that are all the rage these days. Like postage stamps available exclusively through the canteen at loan shark prices, those services make millions for vendors who will do anything to get a contract. Testing for COVID-19 behind prison walls is a different animal, at least in some regards. A few prisons are even testing all staff, though most are terrified at what they might find. How many officers will need to quarantine for 2 weeks because they've worked beside those who test positive? Most can't even test those with symptoms. They just isolate them. That is why so many inmates won't even admit to being sick. But what governor would commit political suicide by sending enough COVID tests to prisons right now? You thought the public was outraged at giving inmates a chance to study something other than how to be a better criminal when they hit the streets again? Safer to downplay, minimize, ignore the risk? Stinkin' thinking has never been confined to inmates. So we won't know how many asymptomatic folks are currently shedding virus throughout these tightly packed human warehouses. But who cares? Exposed officers and the thousands of National Guards needed to replace them just to keep the lid on will care. Those infected personnel, half of them showing no signs they carry the disease, will go home to their communities and families. Small towns far from the current hotspots, where so many of those folks live, still believe this isn't their problem. It will be, if we don't address the real risks thousands of prisons pose as distribution centers for the next wave of this deadly infection.
You've been listening to an essay entitled Doing COVID Time, Testing in the Prisons, submitted by WBFY listener Michael Caron, a retired prison guard and prison educator. This is the second in a series of essays by Michael on prisons and the virus. Those will be heard on future editions of this program, Listen Up, which happens every Saturday at 1 p.m. If you'd like to read an essay on the air, ranging from a short editorial of about 3 minutes up to a longer piece, 8 to 12 minutes, like the one you just heard, please get in touch with the station. I'm Vic Treadwell, the station manager. I can be reached at wbfyradio@gmail.com. Thank you for your attention.